1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Who is he talking to? Brethren, right? This is written to the Corinthian church. So that means me, right?
Yes.
I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. With how many most of them, God was not well pleased? For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. How many know that God's judgment was severe on that particular sin? Make no mistake about this thing. Sexual immorality is something that can put you in hell. I didn't get many amens on that. But this is the Word of God today. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor, listen, complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. And I just want to say something about complaining right here, that this is not a complaining church. It really is not. I've been in complaining churches before. But this is not a complaining church. And the reason why it's not a complaining church is because the people are staying in the river. As long as we stay in the river, stay in the Spirit, amen, something shifts on the inside of you and things begin to get cleaned up and come into alignment with heaven, and you begin to speak differently. You begin to think differently. Verse 11 says, now all these things, what? The things that were written before that happened as examples, and they were written down for our admonition. In other words, a warning. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That would be us. Therefore, verse 12, this is what I want you to look at. Let him who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Oh, I'm doing just fine. I would agree that life is good in the God zone. But beware of this mentality of being sufficient in oneself. And even when God has blessed you, you have had a season of refreshing in your life. Maybe you had hands laid on you and God blessed you. Beware that you don't put your trust in that experience. That you don't try to live out of yesterday's experience. Because the enemy wants you to believe that if you just come up and get prayed for, you know, if you just go to a revival, that somehow that's going to solve everything. And some people actually live, you know, from one revival to the next. They dry up, practically die, and then they come crawling into the next revival. Or they go around looking for revivals. Brother Carl said something that's very true, and that is the revival has to be in here as individuals. Revival comes to a fellowship because the individuals are revived. And so God does bless, God does impart, and He does impart spiritual gifts and impartation of His Spirit through the laying on of hands, and that's important. But you cannot just simply go by what others are doing as they're speaking into your life, as they're laying hands on you, and somehow thinking that that's going to somehow carry you through. There are precious promises that God gives us. And sometimes all that we have to hold on to is that promise. Would you agree? And God blesses us and gives us promises so that when we find ourselves in the valley, when we find ourselves in a difficult place, we have something to hold on to. We have something to call to remembrance of what God had spoken over my life when the word of prophecy had come forth, or a word of knowledge, a revelation of what God was going to do in your life came to you. But we need to be aware of the mentality of getting into this place where we think that we're pretty spiritual. Blessed are the poor in spirit, right? Yeah. Blessed are those who realize that they do not have what it takes within themselves to produce life. Therefore, they remain in a place of desperation and hunger and thirst for Him who truly imparts life. To Him who only has the ability to sustain you through to the end. Jesus said, "They that overcome to the end, the same shall be saved." So take heed, looking back in history, we look at the examples of those who had gone before as Israel had wandered in the wilderness, and they had in many ways failed, and many of them had fallen in the wilderness. And often it is because they thought that within themselves they had the ability, you know. Some people are naturally strong-willed. Some people can discipline themselves naturally quite well. Others really need more of God's help to even discipline yourself in simple things. But strong will is not going to carry you in this battle. Are you hearing me? It's not a matter of, I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to work harder. God doesn't want you working. He wants you resting. He wants you in Him, in His presence. You receive your strength from God alone. Amen? Your peace is dependent upon Him. Your ability to overcome the world is dependent upon Him. Your goodness, my goodness, is not enough. My ability, my natural ability, will never carry me to the end goal that God has for me. We are to walk by faith in the operation of God, in the power of God to sustain me. Amen? Because if we get this false confidence that because, hey, you know, you're on the mountain, watch out because the valley is the next step. And sometimes we get this false security thing going on, you know, just thinking that, especially new Christians, right? We're just, man, life is going to be like this from on out. Every cloud is silver lined. And you're excited about Jesus and life is good. And what's wrong with those people over there? No. Of course, none of you have ever said that. But we need to beware lest we think we stand, we fall. Self-confidence. The world says you've got to be self-confident. Come on. Your confidence must be in God. When your confidence is in God, you'll begin to know who you are. And then you can have confidence in God's ability through you. But sometimes what we do is we shift away from relationship and we begin to put ourselves into the place of self-savior. Or we get into a place where we've received the blessing and then we try to go on that strength. And the whole time God has reached out His hands to us and said, "Did you forget me?" Sometimes we're just going around looking for experiences too. Come on. The next buzz, you know? The next thrill. How many know the Christian life isn't always thrilling?
No.
But it's not boring. And you know something else? God is never boring. People who say that God is boring or church is boring. Now, I would agree if the church does not know how to get into the river, it would be boring. It would be dead. It would be stale. Yeah. But this is a Spirit-filled church. And if you say that church is boring here, it's because you don't really know God yet.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to say that again. You don't really know God yet. Because God is not boring. God is a life-giving spirit. Where He is life, there's joy, there's peace, there's righteousness. I came that you might have life. And it's in His presence. We stand in Christ. Amen? And we continue to stand in Christ. We stand by faith in the Son of God. So beware. Because, you know, it's after the time of blessing sometimes that you're going to enter into a time of testing. And it was in the time of testing that Israel had failed. But the purpose for the test was to promote and advance them to the next level. It wasn't to destroy them. However, if we have a bad attitude, come on, sometimes we need to change our attitudes, change our thinking, so that our attitudes will change. Then we can miss out on the promise of God. How many know that the promises of God, most of them are conditional? That we hear His voice. That was the most profound thing Larry said this week. Remember, he said he's going to tell us something that's very profound. And he says, you got to listen and you got to obey. You got to listen to God and you got to obey Him. It's that simple, really. It's not that profound. It's just that simple. So overconfidence, confidence really in self, in my ability, we've got to shift away from ourselves. Repentance really means to turn away from ourselves. You cannot truly repent towards God until you've turned away from yourself and you've realized that that part of me has to go. The old part has to die. We're going to talk about more of this. I just don't want to keep you too long today. But we're just getting started in this thing. And I was up till 12:30 last night. And God's just downloading things. And so it's going to be good. Lord willing, we may be able to share a little bit tonight. But we'll see how it goes. But I want to just give you a sample. But it was in the place of resting. It was in the place of refreshing. It was the place where Israel found itself camping in the wilderness for a short season. When they came to Rephidim, which means resting place or refreshing. The Amalek showed up. That they were attacked by the enemy. Isn't it true that sometimes we let our guard down? It's because things are going really well. And we begin to just kind of cruise. God wants His people to remember that this thing that we're engaged in, this thing that we're involved in, is warfare and it's for real. And we cannot afford to let our guard down. We cannot afford to let ourselves go. We cannot be sloppy, lazy Christians. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to get lazy. He wants you to not pray. He wants you to not worship. He wants you to not read your Bible. Amen. Spend time in the Word of God. He wants you away from God's presence. He wants to separate and single you out. Because he wants to take you out. You're going to have to fight to get to the end. There's no other way to tell you that, folks. That we're going to have to fight to the end. But God has promised a crown of righteousness for those who endure. And those who endure to the end shall be saved. It's not enough to begin well. It's that we finish well. Amen?
Amen.
So take heed, lest at any time you think that you're standing. Because I have heard many times, and I've done it myself, oh, I'm doing fine. My Christian walk is fine. And sometimes in that is this false sense of security, you know, based upon really my ability to keep myself. I've done it. And I've fallen on my nose. So I want to share this with you today so that you don't do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
But our security, our strength, our joy, our peace, our life is in Christ. And as we pursue His presence, we continue to the end. We cannot give up. We cannot shrink back. We cannot fall out of the race. When we fall out, we get back up and we get back in. Amen? So if we think, we stand. What does that say? It means that a person needs to not think that they stand. Don't think that you stand. Realize, recognize that the only way I'm going to stand is in Christ. He's not talking to unbelievers, folks. He's talking to the church. He said, these things were written down for our admonition, for our warning, upon whom the ends of the earth have come. We have entered into that last day. I believe we're in the last days. And there is a great falling away. I believe there's a great gleaning from it throughout the earth of the harvest of souls. But there's a shaking, and the lukewarm spirit is getting spit out. You're either going to be on fire for God or you're going to be swept away. And sometimes I look and I just see that there's some stuff going on where people are in that place of kind of lackadaisical, lukewarm, in between kind of Christianity, you know, lazy Christianity. Faith is not passive. You can't remain passive and overcome the world. We need the power of God to overcome. And God has made provision for you and I to be filled with His power.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Not just once, but every day.
Yes.
Not just 20 years ago, but every day.
Yes.
To be filled with the Holy Spirit. To put on the full armor of God every day. So that you can overcome
Yes.
the devil and the world and the flesh.
Yes.
And when the Amaleks come against you, which we're going to get into it later,
Yes.
you're going to be able to defeat them. The enemies of your soul. And God's going to reward you, and He's going to promote you, and He's going to advance you. And He's going to increase the authority on your life and the fruitfulness of your life. And the day will come when you'll see Jesus at the end of the course. You might have had to struggle. Yes, you'll have to struggle. You'll have to fight your way through. But at the end, there's something that is so great and so far beyond what we're experiencing right now that it's worth it to give it all up for Jesus and go all the way. How many know that we're now in the time, we are living in the time where we must go all the way?
Amen.
Folks, it's happening in America and it's coming. Where the saints are going to have to say yes or no. I'm going all the way with Jesus. Or are you going to go with the world? Are you going to follow your friends? Are you going to follow what's popular in the world? Or are you going to be willing to pay the price to be a follower of Jesus Christ to the end and receive the prize? Amen. That's waiting for you there. Hallelujah. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And throughout our lives, folks, and when it's time to die, when it's time to die, oh, when it's time to die, and when it's time to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. Give me Jesus. Sing it together. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. Give me Jesus. Would you stand this morning? Lift your hands.